Yeah. How about that Infinity Ward?
Oh, shit! Oh, my God, there's some guards in here. Oh, God, no, they're dragging me away! No!
Mike? Don't take him!
No!
Mike? Mike?
Mike!
Guys. Guys.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Kotek got me.
Oh.
Exploding Barrel Podcast for March 5th, 2010. This is Mike Minotti. I am joined by George Kokoris.
Yo.
And Joey Shinoguchi.
Oh, thank you for keeping me in there. I was going to make a point of that, but you did that for me. Thank you.
Right. When it's in your Skype name, I figure you like the handle. I get it.
Yeah.
No Edge guy this week. He's on spring break.
Ooh.
Yeah, because, you know, he desperately needed a vacation to get away from it all. Yeah.
And them wild parties.
Yeah, so he went to Hilton Head, and I don't know what else. So he left me in charge this week, so, you know, not that I'm not already always in charge anyways,
yeah, exactly,
trust me.
Yeah.
You know,
you're just taking advantage of the situation.
Right.
Yeah.
We all know whose show this really is, right? I'm just saying, I've never missed, missed one show, and that was the time me and neither of us were here. Anyways, here's what we're doing this week. We got news. A lot of, actually, interesting news. Good and controversial. Then we're going to do the quiz. I won't say it yet, but we have a themed quiz again. I kind of like the themed quizzes now.
Ooh.
That's my thing.
This will be interesting.
Because that way I can go to one Wikipedia page or two and get all the
Of course.
Then we're going to do...
Wildly efficient.
Right. Then we got Let's Go Topical, because there's just so many topics we need to discuss, so Let's Go Topical. Then our week in gaming, I played a lot of games.
So did I.
Actually, a lot of new releases, so that'll probably be busier than usual. You know, usually I like to think that we're not such a, what we've been playing kind of podcast. Usually we focus more on the news and that kind of things, but this week I got a lot that I played I want to talk about. I think that's the one thing that doesn't make us a direct one-up yours clone.
You also flip everything. From.
Right, we flipped everything. News is first. That show's like 4 years old now, though. Whatever.
Yeah,
I can stop living under its shadow. Yeah.
This
is our 125th show, man.
Yeah, this is the new shit right here.
Right, we're like the longest running kind of obscure podcast on the internet, or at least gaming one.
That's a pretty awesome record, actually.
Yes, it is. So, anyways. After we're done tooting our horns, then we'll do the new releases. Oh, jeez, I didn't get downloadable releases. Whatever, I don't even like this.
Yeah, forget it.
Yeah.
Who cares about Mega Man 10?
It'll be... Right, exactly. I mean, they're usually in the GameSpot thing. Yeah, that's the one AJ responsibility I forgot to do.
I got PSN list, you know, doesn't care.
But, alright, so... But I have the retail releases anyway, so we'll talk about that.
Alright.
Alright, let's get started then. Let's get the show on the road. Talk about the news. Alright. Alright, I guess I'll go to the Infinity Ward stuff first.
Yeah.
So, a weird story that kind of developed throughout the week. So the heads of Infinity Ward, Jason West and Vince Zampella, were, fired for insubordination.
Yeah. It was a weird situation because it didn't even start that way. It started with them not showing up to work one morning after a meeting with Activision, and then a whole bunch of like big burly security types just showed up at Infinity Ward without ever once saying why they were there, and everybody was really freaked out and had no idea what was going on.
It sounded like a bizarre situation for sure.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like in the beginning, a lot of us thought it was a PR stunt.
Right.
And that turned out to not even remotely be the case.
Right, but no, they fired for insubordination. Now, I'm not sure if anyone really knows what this is about. It sounds like Activision wanted Infinity Ward to work on more Call of Duty games, and maybe not necessarily the way they would have wanted to. Whereas they were ready to do sort of not only new projects, but not I don't know. There's rumors that they wanted to make a Call of Duty MMO, basically,
yeah.
Which I don't really think the Infinity Ward was down with.
Yeah, at least as far as I've heard, they had plans for a new IP that they wanted to pursue, and Activision didn't like that idea because they wanted to keep milking the Call of Duty franchise.
Right. It kind of sucks when you become a little too successful, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's a double-edged sword for sure, because, like, you know, I almost feel like, you know, that, I mean, like, now, of course, that success has kind of bitten them in the ass, although not really through any fault of their own.
Right, yeah, it's not through a fault of their own, but yeah, I mean, it's sort of, I always wonder just exactly how happy Bungie has been to be working on Halo for the last decade.
Yeah, I mean, I think it depends, because, you know, in some cases, you have developers who just, like, genuinely love the series that they're working on, and they'll just keep plugging away at it. But then others, I think the difference comes from whether it's the dev who, you know, keeps sort of banging out those games, or whether the word comes down from the publisher and they say, we need you to make 5 more of these.
But if you're working on Bungie for a decade, at least Bungie kind of has its own fiction and its own world, and you can kind of immerse yourself in that. There's books, you know, the TV stuff, and, you know, talks about movie.
Well, yeah.
I can see how you can get more out of that than just, say, working on a military shooter for a decade.
Yeah, well, I think...
I feel like that would get boring.
Well, yeah, I mean, the difference is that Halo is an intellectual property. And,
right.
I mean, yes, okay, Call of Duty is also an intellectual property.
Technically, but
it hasn't really extended as far beyond games. So it ends up just kind of being its own little self-contained thing, and there isn't really a lot of wiggle room.
Right. I mean, look, that Medal of Honor game, that, you know, that's going to be a lot like a Call of Duty game, and it won't, you know, there's not going to be much to separate. You can rip off of Call of Duty more easily than you could rip off of Halo.
Yeah.
But apparently, yeah. West and Zimpel are already trying to sue Activision for unpaid royalties. That was another issue. Was apparently they were both due some big royalties in like a couple days.
Yeah, so you know there was that whole big countersuit and everything. I mean, it's turned into a real big clusterfuck real quick. And you know, I mean, it's funny because I'm going to be at GDC next week, and the atmosphere there is going to be a little weird because,
right?
I mean, you know, because like that incident. I mean, yeah, okay, it's an Activision Infinity Ward thing, but you know, it has really thrown the developer publisher relationship under a really harsh spotlight, and it's something that hasn't really worked well for a long time. But just about everybody's been taking it for granted. There's this really, like, adversarial relationship between developers and publishers. I mean, there are exceptions, but that's generally the status quo. And,
right.
You know, now that, what was it, last week, the IGDA elected some new board members. So, I mean, here's hoping that their new board has enough energy to really try sinking their teeth into this instead of just kind of burying their heads in the sand like they've done recently.
I mean, there's got to be more to this, though. I mean, I know that Activision is evil and everything, you know, I do the finger quotes, but I have to feel like they need more than, like, a bad reason to just fire these two, who have obviously brought them a lot of money.
Yeah. I mean, you know,
it doesn't seem like a great business decision. Unless they really just think, you know, well, we can do it without them, they don't really matter. And, you know, they've done that before. They did that with Harmonix, basically, with Guitar Hero. They said, well, we don't need you guys, we can just make Guitar Hero without you.
Yeah, well, the thing that makes this significant is that this kind of thing happens all the time, but no one expected it to happen to the studio that created the single highest grossing entertainment product in history. I mean, that's a really big deal. So, I mean, obviously there's more going on than we know about, but... I mean, the thing that was, like, really upsetting me, and I'm glad I've already raged about this because now I can be a little more objective, but it was just, you know, even if Activision had to do it and if they had a good reason for it, the way they did it was just no fucking class, man. I mean, just, like, get everybody into a room and have a meeting, you know? Don't just, like, send a bunch of huge guys to just stand there and get everybody freaked out. I mean, like, people were really fucking worried before they knew what was going on, and that's just, like, that's being, like, you know, and it's this after Kotick giving his talk at DICE about showing more respect for your creative
right,
people.
Right, yeah, he tried to do his kind of backpedaling, sort of saving face interview. And he's back at square one.
Yeah, just terrible timing all around. And, you know, that's the thing. I don't know how they're going to try to justify it.
Imagine if 20th Century Fox told James Cameron that he was off of Avatar 2. And he couldn't direct that.
Yeah, and well,
it's about as crazy.
Yeah, and like you know, and it's not even that because you know if they had just given the movie to another director, then you know you could go, oh, okay, well maybe Cameron's working on something else, and they have somebody else that they feel like is better suited to the new project, whatever. But it's very different from calling Cameron in for a meeting, and then just having him not show up on set, and then sending a bunch of goons to just like stand around. While the crew is like, what the fuck's going on? Where's Jim?
Right. I wonder what the impact of this will really be in the larger sense, though. Because how many, you know, of your normal Modern Warfare 2 players are even really aware of this whole situation?
Well, I mean, and that was something that...
That's kind of what they're hoping for.
I think so. And it was funny, because yesterday, Full Sail had a big meeting for all of the students who were going to GDC. And, you know, we were all in this room, and the head of the department was, you know, talking to us about, you know, just like simple things, like, you know, how to start conversations with people and network and apply for jobs and all that. And, you know, I've already been to GDC and I've done that kind of stuff, but, there was a point where, you know, like he mentioned, hey, but, you know, just keep in mind, now might not be the time to apply for a job at Infinity Ward. And everybody in the room started laughing because they all got the joke, and that was really strange to me because, you know, anywhere else, people would go, wait, what? Huh?
I mean, it's one of the few rooms of people that would have all known about.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, and I, you know, sometimes I get the impression that, like, a lot of people who play Call of Duty compulsively wouldn't even recognize the name Infinity Ward if you said it to them.
Right.
Because they just know, oh, it's Call of Duty.
That's just crazy, though. Don't try to work at Infinity Ward. You would think that would be a very secure place to work right now, considering
their
incredible success.
Yeah,
but
it's weird.
It's backwards. It's weird. It only in this industry. Mm. I don't know.
Yeah, we're in bizarro world right now.
But all right, let's move on. We actually are going to return to this a little bit, and let's go topical. So we'll move on for now. So Valve has been kind of busy this week. They've added two updates to Postal 2 this week. The
what?
First one added
Postal
kind of this,
2?
Portal 2, excuse me. I mean, Portal 1, yeah. Excuse me.
It's like Postal 2, now that would be some weird
viral
shit.
That was two problems.
That would have been a secret best Valve game ever, maybe.
Oh, God. I hope AJ didn't hear that. He's like, yeah, not so easy, huh? Yeah, shit. All right, listen. They added updates to the Portal. I almost said Postal. I don't know why I want to say Postal.
Oh,
so
yeah,
bad.
It's one consonant apart.
Right. Okay, so Portal. Added updates to it. There's the first one, it added these radios in every level. They're kind of giving off this kind of beeps and whatnot, like Morse code or just other codes. And there's a new achievement if you, like, did something with all of them. People use these things to get weird messages and pictures somehow. Kind of all vague stuff, but people thought it was teasing to Portal 2.
Well, there was one absolutely hilarious one that was, it was a string of Morse code, and if you wrote out the Morse code, what it spelled the words beep, 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 with, like, you know, either two E's or four E's, and it spelled that out, and then if you took that and translated that again, it spelled lol. No, and it spelled out the letters LOL, and that was, they're being super meta and clever over there.
As they should be. But then they added a second update, like, the next day, and this time they actually extended the ending of the game a little bit to... It's the same ending. You're outside of Aperture Science. You see everything falling around you. And then you hear this kind of male robot voice say, thank you for assuming the party's sitting position. And you kind of get dragged away, presumably back inside. So, yeah, definitely seems to be opening up for a sequel. So that's exciting.
That is pretty cool. I'm totally stoked to play another Portal.
It seems a little weird to me, though, that your gang just kind of dragged back into Aperture Science.
Explain the weird scene where, you know, well, we understand the concept, the context of why are we suddenly back in the laboratory and why I saw all these nodes and a cake. So. Mm.
Well, that was just the camera being clever.
True.
Well, you know, we don't necessarily know if we're being dragged back into Aperture Science.
Or something, yeah, I guess. Somewhere else, but. Yeah, I guess it's hard to speculate this, but Portal 2 is coming. That's more than enough to make me happy.
Yeah.
Valve's also been teasing Steam coming to Mac. They've just been sending kind of weird pictures everywhere. Very, very Valve-y pictures.
Yeah.
Actually,
they had one.
They're pretty funny.
Yeah, there was the parody of the Apple 1984 commercial.
That was pretty good.
That was awesome. Yeah. Alex just throwing a crowbar at a screen with Breen's face on it. Perfect.
Right. I like the one that kind of was making fun of the I'm a Mac addict. The TF2 stage 1 sentry gun said, I'm a PC, and then you had the Aperture Science sentry gun next to it.
Yeah.
Clearly the mech.
Yeah.
But yeah, this sort of thing. So that'll be happening. So, oh, that's
my favorite
good.
Was,
I feel glad because
my favorite was the one with the heavy, but in parody the iPod ad,
yeah,
and
the
sandwich was white. You saw crumbs coming from his mouth.
That was good.
I feel good, though, just because I had a friend who bought, he bought all these games on Steam. And I encourage him to do so, not realizing that, you know, he had a Mac. He bought, like, cheap games.
Okay.
So it'll be okay.
It'll be interesting to see how they deal with game compatibility. I mean, whether they're going to be putting crossover on some of the games or putting out only the games that have Mac clients. Tough to say.
I have to hope that the days of Windows/Mac gaming might be coming to an end. I don't know.
You mean,
I still never understood exactly why the distinction has to be made. I'm sure you know why, George.
Well, it's primarily an operating system thing. I mean, at this point, the hardware is pretty much identical.
Right.
But in terms of like the actual structure of the OS and the way that applications are executed and scheduled and the way that the memory space is managed, all of those things are so completely different at the lowest, most basic level. That, you know, porting something from one OS to another, even when the hardware is the same, is still a non-trivial task. You know, games that run in OpenGL, and have, you know, sort of like a more platform-neutral design have a much easier time. But, like, you know, no one's ever going to port Crysis to the Mac, because so much of what it does is so completely dependent on really, really low-level Windows systems, and Microsoft's .NET libraries and the DirectX API and all that other stuff. So, you know, I find it hard to believe that, you know, they would be, you know, making their entire catalog available on the Mac unless they have some, you know, unless they've been, like, dealing with transgaming behind the scenes and maybe they have a new version of Crossover that just kicks ass at everything. Who knows?
Right. I was at an Apple store the other day and I was looking at their game section. It was like,
it's pretty
Force
sad.
Unleashed. Fable 1, The Lost Chapters. I was like, oh man.
Yeah, there's a lot of really old stuff that you know, is still being sold on the Mac because they're the only they're still the only games that have existing ports. I mean, these days very few developers are still porting to the Mac.
Right. I mean, you talk about how PC development has slowed down. What does that mean for the Mac?
Yeah, exactly.
All right, let's move on. So, Sony has kind of been teasing that they were going to announce a sequel to sort of an old IP, and that it would be an unexpected sequel announcement. Well, it ended up being SOCOM 4. It's announced for the PS3, and it's going to be set in Southeast Asia.
It's going to come out this year.
This year. Any SOCOM fans here?
No, not really.
The big deal is like, Super's making this one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, okay, nice that the franchise is staying with the developers that made it what it was. Right. But, you know, we're not in that demographic.
The franchise has never been on my radar, ever. But, you know, there it is. All right. Ubisoft has announced they're going to make a Shaun White skateboarding game. I didn't know Shaun White skateboarded. I thought he was a snowboarder guy.
Neither did I, but apparently the only person to get gold medals for both snowboarding and skateboarding at the X Games?
Huh. I remember when I was a kid, I had a poster that Tony Hawk and Shaun White, both, like, off of skate park or something like that. They, you know. So, I always wondered why he went snowboarding. I was never a big fan. I was just like, oh.
Huh. Well, I guess that makes sense. I mean, you know, I'm not sure if there's really that big of a market for skateboarding games anymore.
Nah.
You already have Skate that kind of picked up Tony Hawk's slack.
And yep.
I'm sure Tony Hawk will... But they'll do Skate 2. I mean, they'll do Ride 2. I don't know. I think the days of skateboarding games being awesome is past. I never tried Skate, though. I don't know. Maybe that's good. All right, here's next. So a new Tomb Raider game was announced. I shouldn't say Tomb Raider, though, because it's actually called Lara Croft and the Guardian of Light.
Yeah.
Really?
Which is, it's interesting that they dropped the Tomb Raider name entirely, but from what they're saying, you know, they decided to, like, completely change the game around. I am kind of hoping, I mean, I don't know if it's this one or the other Tomb Raider game that they're also saying is in development, but I remember a couple of months ago they announced that whatever they were working on next, they wanted it to have more of a survival aspect. And they released this piece of concept art showing Lara Croft with an actual, like, the body of a real human being.
Yeah.
Which to me was, like, the coolest thing ever. Like, even just seeing that, I was like, okay, this game is now officially on my radar because she's built like an actual woman.
Isn't it funny how we had to unsex up our characters now?
Well, I mean, you know, because I think it's because we've gotten to a point where we've over-sexed.
The industry's matured a little bit.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's partly that and partly that, like, just the way things escalate. We've over-sexed game characters to the point where they're not sexy anymore. They're just these obnoxious caricatures. I mean, like, I think that's what Bayonetta was playing off of, you know? It was taking that and, like, using it for laughs.
Right. But, well, it's going to be a downloadable game.
Yeah.
And it's being made by Crystal Dynamics, so... Yeah,
there
it is.
I'm down with that. I like Crystal D.
We'll see. First Mega Man 10 DLC has been announced. Bass will be a playable character.
Ooh.
He can be bought for $2 on April 5th for all three platforms, because the game will be out on everything by then.
Woo-hoo.
That's pretty cool. If anyone played Mega Man and Bass, or Rockman and Forte, as it was known in Japan, Bass had a pretty unique sort of style. His whole thing was he kind of played like Earthworm Jim. He could shoot in 8 directions. That's what I like to equate it as.
Yeah.
No, I think it's funny. Well, he was never in an 8-bit game, so his sprite looks like Mega Man with like a, but you know, with a different color shade and like different all the base like custom
right,
parts.
Yeah,
it's, like,
his
8-bit
sprite. Right, seeing his 8-bit sprite was.
He looks
amazing.
Like angry. He always has an angry face on.
Right, he's never happy. He's basically the. I don't know if I want to say the prototype for Zero, because I actually think Mega Man X came out before Mega Man 7.
The last thing we need is to go into the Mega Man canon. Because I don't even think Inafune knows what's up with that anymore.
It's
that's
really
why I like the classic Mega Man. Classic Mega Man's fine because there's not that much canon to worry about.
Yeah.
Once you try starting and connecting it to X, and
it gets crazy. For me, the proper way to enjoy the Mega Man games is to play them exactly as they are, but then imagine them being in the canon of the Proto Man.
Oh yes.
So it's, you know, it's Mega Man, but we also have this, like, crazy, awesome Orwellian nightmare going on in the background, which is really fucking sweet. And they don't interfere with each other, and it's awesome, and you get to listen to, like, crazy-ass fucking cock rock, which, you know, no one can complain about that.
All right, here's our next thing here. BioShock 2, just a little update on the sales, went past 3 million.
Wow.
I think original BioShock did 4 million lifetime, so it'll do well better than that. So... You know, I think BioShock 3 is to be expected at this point. You know, whether we like it or not, BioShock's a franchise now.
But I don't think we want to see another one Rapture now.
See, people say that. I don't get that. I don't know how you can have BioShock without Rapture.
Well, how about like a world, like, you know, and it's like what kind of world would have a place that would have Rapture, you know? Try to, like, expand on
that.
I'm
pretty sure it's supposed to be the same world. I don't know.
I'm not
going to
die back
I don't want to play.
I want to see a Fortress of the Air, you know? Maybe not.
So that could be a spinoff. I don't know.
But it's like,
it's hard to say. But anyways, BioShock 2 doing very well. I think it's well deserved. So, you know, makes me happy. Red Dead Redemption's been delayed to May.
Yeah. Which, you know, I mean, Rockstar is saying that it needs more polish. You know,
that's
fine. Who knows what the case is with that? I mean, like, hey, I'm all for delaying games to polish them. But also. I'm I'm not entirely convinced that that's the case, especially after, you know, what was it, like a month or two ago, the whole, that whole Rockstar San Diego situation. It was basically like EA Spouse all over again.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, I mean, who knows if it was related to that, or if it really isn't as big of a problem as we thought it was, and they were blowing it out of proportion, and they really do need more polish, who knows?
Right. Yeah, who knows? I mean, so many games out right now, like, I'm not too angry. So the other kind of bizarre story of the week were a good deal of the older PS3 models were just down. There was something called the 800105OF error. It was some sort of clock error, and apparently it was plagging PS3s everywhere. I never turned mine on during this.
It was evidently somehow related to leap years, like the leap year calculation. So when the clock rolled over from February 28th to March 1st, somehow it might have just been that like a register was moved in memory or something, and so the console became convinced that it was 1999, and then that prevented it from being able to sync properly with the PlayStation Network. And then what ended up happening was that when you started up your PS3, tried to connect to PSN in any way, as soon as it connected to PSN and it tried to sync up the trophy data, the date discrepancy caused your trophy data to be permanently corrupted. That was the big issue, because then everybody was like, I can't even play my PS3 anymore. Like, it won't, you know, they could only get it to boot by, like, literally unplugging it from Ethernet and then getting stuck without any trophies. It was weird.
I also heard reports of, like, they couldn't even play games offline because of the, it was like, they couldn't, get, like, trophy data or something, and the game must shut down now. And people are like, what's going on? Like, I can't even play the games offline.
Yeah.
And because, like I said, the discrepancy, all the DLC looked like it was, like, gone, and all the download games as well. But then, like, you know, a day later, everything was okay.
Yeah, it was this strange, like, weird cascading effect just from that one tiny little bug. But it seems like they fixed it, so bravo.
Right, it's fixed supposedly, so. Yeah.
It only fixes itself.
That's the best way for things to get fixed. That's always my philosophy. It'll fix itself. I'm still waiting for that toilet to unclog.
Too much information.
Anyways. So. It's a plumbing. It's, don't worry.
Okay.
Not, there's no shit involved.
It could possibly involved otherwise.
I guess we're moving on to, I still have it called the Great American Ag Guy Gaming Quiz. Despite his absence. I refuse to change the name.
Just a quick news thing. That got lost.
Oh, right. What?
Remember a few weeks ago they said that they were going to close down like the Xbox One, Xbox Live compatibility? And reportedly there's going to be some compensation for people that really loved Halo 2 or something like that. Like, you get 400 Microsoft points for free and as well as 3 months of gold service.
Right. That's. I heard you might get into the Halo Reach beta.
Something that they might allow it as a download if you've played a crap load of Halo 2, which is nice. I mean, that's a nice gesture for them to make, and I mean, obviously on their end it isn't really that huge. I don't imagine that they're offering that to too many people, but you know, it's nice. It's a nice gesture.
Yep.
And then also the new screens of both Vanquish and Crysis 2 came out today. Vanquish looks pretty cool. I don't really know that much about it, other than the fact that they say it's a third-person shooter with a cover system that is a hell of a lot faster than Gears of War,
and
which is
by Japanese
intriguing.
People.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know. Maybe I'll wait until I see some video footage of it. And Crysis 2, of course, looks fantastic. But, you know, I mean, again, they only released two screenshots, so that's kind of a wait and see. But still, damn. But yeah.
Anything
that's
else?
It. That's all I got.
I think that covers
it. All right, let's do the quiz then. Great American Ag Guy Gaming Quiz in memory of Ag Guy.
Sorry.
In temporary in memoriam.
Right. All right, guys, here we go.
Memoriam.
First question.
Sorry.
Mystery House, a 1980 graphic adventure, was developed by a studio named Online Systems. What would the studio eventually rename itself?
Online Systems. Mystery House? Was this a point-and-click adventure, you said?
A graphic adventure.
Graphic adventure. 1980.
Right.
Online Systems. I'm just going to take a stab in the dark here and say it's Looking Glass.
Joey, do you concur?
Oh, yes.
The Sierra. Oh, Sierra Entertainment.
Really? Okay, that explains. Cool. Sierra, Sierra Online. Okay.
Right. So this, damn. This is kind of the forebear okay. to King's Quest.
Right.
Speaking of which, the original King's Quest was released in what year?
Oh, crap.
Let's see. I have no idea. So.
80. Shit. 86?
You're in the right decade.
86?
84.
1984.
Damn. 0 for 2
Question
here. 0 for 2 here. Gotta get some momentum, guys.
All right. I got this.
What was Sierra's first game to sell more than 500,000 copies?
Son of a bitch.
It would also be the highest selling game of all time for the next 5 years.
Oh, Half-Life.
The
for
answer
five
is King's Quest 5.
It's King's Quest 5. Son of a bitch.
King says quiet. Yeah, as
I know. Oh, my God. Yeah.
Right.
Man, I'm gonna,
I almost wanted
I'm
to see that as a joke,
over the coals
man.
For this. Yeah, I don't...
pick up that combo deal with 4, 5, and 6 on good old games.
Yeah. I don't know anything about any of the King's Quest games. I never played any of them. That might be what's torpedoing me on this quiz.
You struck me as a King's Quest kind of guy too for some reason.
That's funny. I mean, maybe I should play them. I didn't.
I'm not a big King's Quest guy either. I think Beige is really
yeah,
into
yeah,
all
Mark,
these Sierra crap.
Yeah,
yeah.
I know Mark is.
Don't you say it. Mark? Don't you correct me?
Well, I'm just
Mark.
Hey, whatever.
Mark.
Here's the new rules of the squad, guys.
Oh.
Nope.
Oh man.
All right.
Oh man, I'm sure he's going to let me. I'm sure he's going to let me have right. it for missing all these questions.
All right. Okay, we're 0 for 3 here. What is the full name of the first Leisure Suit Larry game?
Oh damn. Leisure Suit Larry in. Oh man, it was a bad pun. I remember that much. Son of a bitch. Wow. I got nothing, man.
Joey, you have anything?
All I have is like a long title for I don't know which installment it is, so I'm not going to try.
Alright, it's Leisure Suit Larry and the Land of the Lounge Lizards.
Yes. Oh, God. I'm crashing and burning here right now. Okay. One more. I know I'm going to get the last one. Let's at least end this on
the last one
and
the bonus one.
Okay. Let's do this.
Alright. What is the name of the highly ambitious, though ultimately reviewed with mixed reaction, adventure game that Sierra released in 1995?
Highly anticipated, 1995, came out to mixed reviews.
Not highly ambitious.
Highly ambitious.
Someone anticipated,
okay.
I would say.
Highly ambitious, came out to mixed reviews. Sierra, 1995. What did Sierra do in 1995? Damn. Adventure.
I need an answer.
Point-and-click adventure. Sierra.
Tick-tock.
I'm sitting here, and I'm like,
you're,
I'm just running
dying.
Through this. Yeah, I'm running through this, like, you know, my brain's going, beneath the
you're
still sky,
dying.
I have no mouth and I must scream. Whatever, but no.
Phantasmagoria? Phantasmagoria.
No. It was Phantasmagoria? God!
You finished my sentence.
Oh, I should have just blurted that one out. God damn it.
Phantasmagoria.
Oh, my God. I'm
Which
sorry, AJ. We're letting you down here.
You got the bonus question. You could get 1 point.
All right. You're killing me here with these Sierra
questions. Phantasmagoria was ported to what system in Japan?
In Japan? Oh, Jesus. PC Engine?
The Sega Saturn.
It was a Sega Saturn version of... Man,
like
I need
seven,
to go back and do
seven,
some research
right?
on Sierra.
That's what Shane said. Or maybe there's another game. I forgot. Anyway. Shane from Retro Arts. X. One. Anyway.
There it is.
Jesus.
All right, guys.
I need to do some Sierra research.
It was a poor effort, to be sure.
The
but,
Sierra game I played when I was a kid was Incredible Machine Trial Edition.
Yeah, me too. Same thing. Incredible Machine. All you
right,
could have asked me a question about the Incredible Machine, but did you?
No. No. We had an Incredible Machine. I know the Incredible Machine.
I'm not quite sure how incredible it is, but there. All right. Let's go topical, guys.
All right.
Let's.
All right. We got things. I'll start with George, since he seemed to have plenty to say about Infinity War already. So here's my first point. Infinity War as a studio will not recover from this week's fiasco.
Ooh, that's a tough one. I am unsure whether the studio will survive in name. I'm pretty confident that regardless of what happens, the vast majority of the people who work there will probably stay together as a team, even if that means that they have to reincorporate under a new name. If we're talking about like just the company, like, you know, the company called Infinity Ward, it's doubtful. But if we're talking about the people, I'm sure they'll be fine. They'll, you know, I think the chances are pretty good that they're going to land on their feet. And if EA swoops in and picks them up, I will laugh for days.
Oh, man. History repeats itself again. How funny would that be? Joey, what do you think?
I don't have anything to say on the subject. I think George covered it pretty well.
All right, then. Here's our next point. Let's start with Joey. Portal 2 will be a standalone game, not bundled with Half-Life 2 Episode 3, and be much longer than the first.
Well, let's think about how Portal is. It's like a... Well, this is just me, my uninformed, like, you know, I don't play many first-person view games, first-person shooter games perspective. It was very much like a puzzle game. With, like, very, like, you know, with a very open way to, like, find solutions and stuff. And a really unique mechanic. I don't know if they could... I mean, they certainly could. In fact, they did. They did release it standalone. In both physical and digital format, but it, you know, a lot of people really did love it because it just came like, you know, it was just a little treat they didn't realize like was in this awesome thing. This thing they just found on the shelf called the Orange Box. I think if they had like another compilation type thing with Episode 3, which was like the big thing that everyone wants from that point, then wait, what am I saying? Jeez, yeah, basically yes.
George.
I kind of see it being a standalone product. Portal made a pretty big splash when it came out, and it, you know, it has a lot of momentum all on its own. And, you know, I mean, people talk about Portal all the time, completely in its own context, like unrelated to the rest of the Orange Box. And if I know Valve, I'm pretty sure that they're probably not going to be putting out Half-Life 2 Episode 3 anytime soon. And
how could
in
they
fact,
not, though?
Well, I mean, here's the thing. Like, I
don't get that. The time frame makes no sense.
Valve works on their own time frame. And honestly, because as a company, they're completely self-sufficient because of Steam, they are not under any deadlines, and they are not under any, like, I guess I should say, temporal obligations. So for them, they will make Half-Life 2 Episode 3, or possibly, I'm going to say, even money, they might just go straight to Half-Life 3.
That's what I'm beginning to think at this point.
Yeah, they might just go straight to Half-Life 3. Regardless, whatever they do with the Half-Life franchise, they will do it when they damn well feel like it. And when the time comes, they'll let us know. So I'm pretty sure that Portal 2 is going to be a standalone thing. If it is bundled with another game, I don't think it's going to be another Half-Life game. They might bundle it with, like, I don't know, maybe they'll cook up an expansion for TF2 or maybe some of the Left 4 Dead DLC or something like that. I don't see it being bundled with another Half-Life.
Oh, all man. Right. Here's the next DLC. This another news item I missed. In Europe, Batman and Arkham Asylum is getting Game of the Year edition with, like, 3D Scarecrow segments, and it's not coming here for some reason. But that's about it.
No. Which is weird. I don't know why they're not doing it in the States. Maybe they're planning something else. It's a strange decision.
Game of the Year editions.
Pshua.
Didn't win any awards. No, I'm kidding.
Uncharted 2 all the way! Anyway.
Alright, George. Mm-hmm. Starting with you. SOCOM 4 is a disappointing announcement for all of Sony's teasing of a new sequel.
I mean, that's hard for me to say because I don't really care about SOCOM as a franchise. I mean, you know, there are other things that would have made me more excited. I would have definitely gotten a lot more stoked about, like, I don't know, another Ratchet and Clank game, or even another Sly, or even like, you know, if they were really going to try to play it right and do another, even if they were to do like another Jak and Daxter that kind of stepped away from the sort of crazy downward spiral that the rest of that series got into.
Ever since Jak 2.
I mean, you know, that would be cool. I guess SOCOM 4 it makes sense. It's just like, it's hard for me to say that it's disappointing just because I'm not invested in that franchise. So I don't think it is. I'm sure that people who love SOCOM are fucking happy as pigs and shit.
I guess maybe it's just me, but I don't know anyone who loves SOCOM. I'm sure these people exist. For me, SOCOM's not a part of my life in any way, shape, or form.
SOCOM is a very, very specific crowd. I mean, it's definitely like it would feel weird to say that it's a niche title because it's a little bit too big for that. But the people who like SOCOM are like it's a very specific group, and it's kind of, I don't know, you could almost, like, it's the intersection of the Venn diagram between Rainbow Six and Call of Duty. SOCOM kind of sits comfortably right in the middle there, and
to fill this demographic on the PS3?
It was kind of, you know, and their
aim was
the
whole... I wonder how well Mag's doing.
The general consensus of Mag is the fact that it's an absolutely fantastic game that no one plays right, so it just feels like it sucks.
Huh.
I mean, basically, the idea...
See, I kind of thought that would be the problem.
Well, yeah, exactly, because, you know, the idea is you have 256 players on the field, two massive armies of 128 players each, all broken up into squads and platoons, trying to execute objectives, trying to do things in, like, a very, very large-scale, sort of battlefield-style game. But the problem is that many of the people who came into MAG came into it from Call of Duty, so the only thing they care about is their kill-death ratio. So most of the time, entire matches will play out and no objectives will be completed because everybody's just trying to get as many kills as they can.
Right. It also hurts that, unlike the 360 and the PS3, you know, your system wasn't, or your controllers aren't bundled with headphones.
Yeah.
What's the percentage of people who voice chat on PS3 online? Maybe 1 out of 10?
Yeah, it's a really small group, I'm sure.
Right, so, I never was sold on that whole game. No. Anyways, Joey, what do you think about SOCOM 4? Is it a disappointment? Is it an announcement?
Most people like say SOCOM was only popular because it was the first online PS2 game that was backed by Sony, so it got all the support basically. And there weren't much other like Sony exclusive sequels that, you know, people would have been like surprised by, like, you know, except in a bad way. Aside SOCOM 4, like freaking Siphon Filter, like no one really understood the love behind Siphon Filter. So it's always like a poor man's like a stealth action game. I could have seen like, you know, a new Jak, you know, maybe like a reboot, you know, like, you know, instead of Jak 2, like, you know, maybe more exploration in that trop, you know, the very vibrant world, but, you know, in next gen visuals, that would have been cool. Personally, you know, George, you know, you love Halo and its mythos and everything. I look at Killzone and, you know, and it has all this like amazing background. They just research like, you know, real world history and just like make all this elaborate crap, and then they make the games and they're just like so freaking like dry and stuff. I, you know, if they made a Killzone 3 that, you know, decided to like take it apart, like it's, you know, its own heritage and no one really understands because you can't go to the website just, you know, just to check out everything there. But if they made like, I don't know, if they expanded the Killzone universe, you know, just as an announcement, but like, you know, we're gonna make like a miniseries on HBO or something. And like a animated series or whatever the heck, or, you know, freaking novels, and you, like, you know, understand like this, the stuff that basically just, you know,
right,
more Killzone, like more
trying to
be even cool.
Yeah, I mean, trying to expand that mythos.
Yeah,
yeah.
And, you know,
all right,
and downloadable on Charge 2 episodes. Anyways,
yeah. Yeah.
All right, Joe. The Wii doesn't need a price cut in 2010.
Nah. I agree with that.
Because I think they pretty much said recently that they won't.
Yeah, they did. Which is why you made this topic.
Right.
And, you know,
it's topical.
Yes.
Point.
And, yeah, the theory, the rumors were, like, they, instead of, you know, price cut, they're going to put it, like, a new color. Like, the black Wii in America, you know? With the Wii Sports Resort bundle. Like they're doing in Europe.
I hope they called the black version Revolution.
They did have, like, when they talk about Revolution, it came out, like, the first pictures of the console were that it was black, right?
Yeah. Right, first. Yeah, the first time they ever showed the console was all black.
Remember, and also the one, lime the green, was red. Oh, man.
Right. The 1.0 was a Wii disc, and the other 1.0 was a GameCube disc. They don't really push that backwards compatibility as much anymore.
Yeah, not so much.
George, what do you think?
I don't think it needs a price cut. They're...
It's already $200.
Yeah, you know, that's the thing. I mean, like, it's cheaper than all the other consoles, and it's selling really well. I don't see any need for them to cut the price. They seem to be at the sweet spot right now.
If only they could just, like, keep supplying, you know, in stores, which apparently they haven't been doing.
Yeah.
All right, here's our last one, starting with George. With Super Mario Galaxy 2, Metroid Other M, and rumors of a new Zelda game this fall, the Wii's reputation for having a weak software library will turn around this year.
Ooh, that is... I don't think it will. Nintendo has always produced great first-party software, and I think at this point we can all just sort of... I don't want to say take it for granted, but we can all be comfortable in that knowledge. Nintendo's first-party software is really good. And
but
having Nintendo...
For the Wii-
put out a bunch of amazing first-party software isn't going to help, you know, help its reputation for having a lousy third-party lineup.
That's not the third-party stuff is kind of, I mean, yeah, that's important, but even the GameCube, which never had great third-party support, you know, you always kind of counted on the Nintendo releases. I don't feel like the Wii has had as many standout games from Nintendo as the GameCube did. I mean, you know, a lot of that's because they've been focusing development on things like Wii Fit and Wii Music and, you know, whatever else.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that, you know, because Nintendo has been spending so much of their time and money on kind of pseudo-games. I mean, I can definitely see that bolstering their first-party lineup and, you know, making people more confident that Nintendo is producing good software for the platform. But I think that the belief that the third-party selection on the Wii is pretty slim, I don't think that's going to change anytime soon.
Joey?
What was the topic again? That this year's Nintendo releases will dispel the whole, like, Wii as bad
games? Of all the releases, that the Wii's reputation for having a weak software library will turn around this year.
Well, people always look at it like, you know, every year they would be like, oh, Wii has no games. Like, you know, the last few years, like, when we didn't see, like, you know, the really strong Nintendo titles, we were like, Wii just has no games. It's like, not, you know, it was always, like, a very immediate thought, because people always had the mentality of you play the games and you move on. And, that was always, like, just a perception of the immediate perception, not like, you know, well, those, you know, everything sucks, you know, now, because Wii Nintendo's not putting out a new game this year. So...
All right. Well, that'll wrap up. Let's go talk.
Alrighty. That's very uncomfortable on my end. Well, it's, you know, it's freaking 1 a.m. in the morning, in the night.
Fair enough.
That's why I'm like, so...
I'm wide awake, but I'm a night person. Alright, then. Let's talk about our games, guys, and our weekend
games,
gaming.
Games.
What you been playing, Mike?
Me? Funny you should ask. Yeah. At least, well... Okay, first I had to get Ace Attorney Investigations, Miles Edgeworth.
Let's talk about that.
When I found out that it came out last week. So I had to go and pick that up. And, you know, I'm very happy to be back yelling things at my DS alone in my bathroom.
Do you actually yell objection to your DS?
I do. Here
we come. That is pretty cool, because very few people actually do that.
Right, it's the only one is... Well, you have to yell hold it during the investigations. You have to do that almost every time. For some reason, it doesn't pick me up here saying hold it that much. So I pushed the button that time. But for Eureka, take that and objection. And especially objection. There's no way I'm not yelling objection. I don't care if I'm in public. I'm yelling objection.
I gotta do that.
It's like the giant objection, like flashing in the screen.
Right, you know? That's the staple. Come on,
you cannot not do that.
I couldn't play the Wii versions of the ports because of that.
Because you couldn't yell.
The Wii mode at the screen.
Mm-hmm. But for this game, it does a good job kind of streamlining the experience a bit. You know, being able to actually walk around and see your character there instead of the whole kind of old sort of menu-driven exploration thing. Right. And there's still a lot of talking heads and whatnot, but it's nice to actually walk around your environment that way. Plus, it does a thing now where if you're investigating something, everything you need to do is always in the room you're in, whereas in the other Phoenix Wright games, you were always kind of jumping from place to place, doing a lot of pixel hunting. There's not as much of that this time, mm-hmm. So... you know, it's not really a case of making it easier. Yeah.
There's something to be said about, talk about how, like, playing in, like, third person, walk around the environment. It's unique to this game that stars Edgeworth. I mean, it is, because, you know, in playing as Phoenix Wright or Apollo Justice, it was always in the first person.
Right. So, I think it's a welcome change. I think they should work it like that going forward. And, you know, like I said, the whole having it in one room thing makes it... It's not so much that it makes it easier, but it makes some of the unnecessary backtracking gone, which I like.
You're saying it's all one room right now, but how far are you in the game?
I'm on case 5.
Oh, okay. So everything is just, like, all in the one crime scene?
No, it's not so... But it's just that you move from crime scene to crime scene.
But you stay put.
It's not so much... Right, pretty much. And you'll revisit places, but... Everything you need to do right then is in that room. Mm. It's not like, well, I need to talk to this guy in this room, but I haven't found this piece of evidence over in this room, so I better go back there first. So,
right.
You know, it's almost, it's focused more on the logic puzzles than it really is on the sort of adventure game style inventory, show this item to this person, get him to respond kind of thing.
Yeah.
But, you know, everything that I love about the series is there, the great writing, the great characters. Miles Edgeworth is just so cool. It's funny how different it is just playing as a character who's actually pretty competent and confident in himself. Because Phoenix Wright is always kind of going around like, what the hell am I going to do? How am I going to do this? I just don't know. Oh, no. Oh,
Miles
no.
Is like, let's go eat hamburgers.
Right. Miles is just like, I got this. Whatever. How dare they? You know, it's good times. And the music's still awesome.
Oh, yeah. The music in the Phoenix Wright games has always been great.
Yeah, it really has been. It's one of the few newer sort of soundtracks that is kind of memorable to me.
I was playing
That's not just orchestral.
I was playing the demo of the part of the first case from Nintendo Channel that, you know, they like down to DS. And
right.
In there, like not as a detriment to the game or anything, like not, but it had music from the first very first Phoenix Wright game. Was that just like for the demo purpose? Did they have like all new music in the entire game?
Yeah, I haven't noticed that much. Like, some of the music,
like very few.
Most of it... yeah, like, Gumshoe's theme is still there, for instance. We talked to Gumshoe, it plays his song. But most of the music is new, especially, like, the cornered song and that kind of thing. Yeah, I think it's a mostly new soundtrack, just to go off what I remember. So, then I... Continuing the Capcom theme, I had to download Mega Man 10 when that came out on WiiWare. Mm-hmm. Which,
verdict.
But, you know, I love it. It's Mega Man, you know? And, you know, reviewers are kind of a bit more, they're not quite as enthusiastic this time around because, you know, obviously Mega Man 9 happened, so this is sort of the second helping, but it's still a very classic Mega Man style game. You don't have, you know, it's not littered with the stuff that kind of bogged the series down, like the charge shot and all the other stuff, although I think those things were given to Proto Man. You can play as Proto Man if you want to, but just going through as Mega Man, it's, you know, very classic game, and, you know, Mega Man was my series. That was what I grew up on. So just playing those games again, I love that series to no end, so I'm always happy to be back there.
Awesome.
It's hard to say if it's as clever overall as Mega Man 9. Like, it doesn't try to mess with you so much, like, oh, you remember how you did this in Mega Man, we're going to switch it up on you. It's not quite as evil as Mega Man 9, I would say.
Right.
Well, 9 had all those years after they stopped making 8-bit games and decided to flip it on the players like that. And with 10, it's a, as a,
right.
we're back to the, let's just make a straight up, like, right. Yeah, a straight up 8-bit game. Like, not be so meta about
it. Yeah, this one's almost, it's not even quite as, like, tongue-in-cheek as Mega Man 9. Like, Mega Man 9 was, like, almost kind of a parody of a Mega Man game.
So it was, like, chubby cameos. This is much more like, yeah.
Right. This game could have come out in 1990. Mm-hmm. Like, right after whenever Mega Man 6 came out. This could have been the other Mega Man 7.
Right, so they're basically just, like, playing it straight.
Yeah, that's what I was looking for. Yeah. That's expression.
I mean, there's that, you know, they've added a lot of things, which is nice. Like, that easy mode, you know, if you want that, that's you know, nice for those who, you know, whine and complain Mega Man's too hard. Being able to place Pro Man off the spot and actually have him being integrated into the, quote, story, end quote, that's nice. You know, the Robot Masters, you know, they're about as silly slash unoriginal as usual. You know, there's the fire guy, the lightning guy. Although the lightning guy is named Sheep Man this time, so that's kind of cool. But I'll be interested to see how. Usually a lot of the craziness is saved for the Wily stages or whatever. So be interested to see those. But the level designs have been pretty cool. You know, it's Mega Man. You know at this point if you like Mega Man or not.
Yeah,
I love Mega Man for one, so I love this. Very happy playing it. I think everyone knows I was very excited about MLB 10 the show.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. That's good.
I was very excited. So, picked that up. I've been playing that. I did the Road to the Show mode, which is where you play as one person. I made a catcher slash batter. Well, catcher slash first baseman, but yeah, I have to bat. And wait, when I played the game before, I pretty much only ever did pitching. So learning a lot of the batting mechanics is new for me. My batting average was like a 50 for a while, and if you don't follow baseball, it's pretty bad. A good batting average is around 300. But I've been working on it. I got it up to about 200 now, so I'm getting better. But it's just as good as 09 was, but with improvements. The presentation on these games is just ridiculous. Few games have... Like, George, you remember how we were talking about this, how pretty like StarCraft II's presentation was with just the menus and things like that? Yeah, it's like that.
It's got that same level of... Okay, that's impressive. I mean, I don't really get into sports games, but I do definitely...
Right.
I have to recognize when I see polish and a good interface, you know, because it's not as common as it should be.
It really is, and even when I think about, like, Uncharted 2, you know, you had a pretty standard, you know, here's the start menu, push start, play the game, but... And there's something to be said about these kind of really over-the-top, cool-looking menus.
Yeah.
But I mean, you know, menu aside, just the amount of things you can do in the game, like, the way it has its own, you know, import music, put the marker on the music when you want to, and then you can use those as your entrance songs or songs for when you hit a home run.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Oh, yeah, you can record your own things to put in as cheers and stuff for your character. It's crazy.
So it's like hit a home run like, here, Wily Stage 1.
Right, exactly. I think I have one of my songs when I go up to the plate is one of the Shadow of the Colossus songs. the awesome one. I love that song. It's like the one where the tide of the battle turns and you're kind of like in charge now.
Yeah.
I love that song. So it's pretty fantastic.
That's a really nice touch. I like that.
It's ridiculous. Like I never played the 2K baseball game. From what it's right, it's well understood that those aren't as good. I guess I can't really say I have any interest to even try them. This MLB 10 to show, it's just good. If you like baseball and you have a PS3, heck, if you have a PS2 or PSP, go get that. That's the way to go. And I haven't even touched all the online features, which are extensive.
My favorite mental image of the 2K baseball games is the GIF of the guy swinging his bat, and then the ball just, like, hits his face. It's in slow motion, so it makes it all the best.
Aw.
Oh, man. But that pretty much, that does it for me, you know. Does I've been doing my like workout right now. I don't think I need to go into detail about that. I didn't make Stone Cold Steve Austin this time. This time I just made Mike Minotti. Hmm. And Minotti is one of the few less names they actually don't have in the game for the announcers to say, so that was a little bit of a bummer. That's the nice thing about Steve Austin is they could say Steve Austin. They have a lot of last names in there, actually.
Really?
Basically, if there was ever a professional baseball player who had that last name, you're pretty good, probably. I don't think there's been that many Italian baseball players is the problem.
Not many Chinese either.
Right. Well, yeah. There are a lot of names, and they say them all, so it actually is impressive. Not too surprised they don't have Minotti.
I think that they had something kind of close. I was like, well, I could be Michael Mentos or something.
Mentos?
Whatever it was. It wasn't Mentos, okay,
Mike,
but it was something
fresh
like that.
Maker.
Yes. All right. Yes. All right.
From now on, you are the fresh maker. That's it.
I am not the fresh maker, sir. No, I am not. Yeah. Do you guys want to hear about my Warcraft rating? Didn't think so.
Aw.
All right. There's not that. We downed the, three princes today in ICC 10.
Oh, really?
Best corpse okay, run ever.
Joey, you said you played a lot. What did you play?
Let's see. Well, can I talk a bit about Mario Galaxy?
I mean, go for it.
Mario Galaxy 1? You just play it.
Because, you know.
Oh, yeah, sure.
What you call it. I had saved the second run for when I was here, when, you know, Mario Galaxy
2
was
right.
On its way. And I was like, and then last week, you know, the big explosive announcement. Mario Galaxy is coming out this summer. I was like, well, I mean, not Mario Galaxy 2. I was like, well, I have to play Part 1 now.
You're playing Super Luigi Galaxy,
yeah,
aren't you?
And I beat it at 202%. That's what I call it.
Nice.
You know, getting all the stars in both runs. And it's amazing how, like, you know, it is the same game, but, you know, playing as Luigi, he controls differently. And somehow, like, I'm still having fun. I don't feel like the game is stale at all, you know?
Yeah, I want to do that. I need to go back to Mario Galaxy 1, get all the stars so I can play as Luigi. I think it'd be cool if in the sequel that was kind of available from the get-go, mm-hmm. Mario or Luigi.
What's the difference in playstyle with Luigi?
Luigi needs a bit of a running start before he can do his slide jump, you know, where he careen forward.
Oh, I imagine he jumps higher, right? That's always been the case.
His
Mario
third
2.
Jump, like, you know, when you do the third consecutive jump, he jumps really high. Yeah, and he's...
Usually he's floatier, right?
Sort of, yeah.
Like, he's kind of harder to get
different inertia,
going.
Yeah.
He doesn't stop quite as quickly.
He's not quite as swift as Mario, as weird as that may seem. And it's funny, like, you know, the Manta Ray surfing levels and the wall rolling levels and the golf course sort of thing. You know, playing as Mario, I really hated it, but playing as Luigi, I was like, I felt like I had more control, oddly.
That's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I need to get back in Mario Galaxy. I'm so pumped for Mario Galaxy 2.
So am I.
After that awesome trailer with its awesome
And
music.
Now we realize that, you know, Mario Galaxy 1 had, like, Mario 3 references. Mario Galaxy 2 has, like, Super Mario World all over it. And
it
I
does.
Love that, because the
only
beat, you know, the first time
I do
was Mario World, so.
I did think that Mario 3 had a lot of, Mario Galaxy 1 had a lot of Mario 3 references. Although it's been too many goddamn Mario games. The one thing in Mario Galaxy 2 that reminded me of Mario 3 was all the giant world kind of stuff in that one part.
Yeah. And they still have airships, but, you know.
Right, yeah. That was all such a big comeback, but. Yoshi and all of Yoshi's berries, yeah, definitely. Friendly.
Yoshi's getting his powers again.
Right, yeah. That was, I remember Yoshi was in Mario Sunshine, but he was very sparingly. Right, very sparingly.
I love, like, just mashing
his model
like,
looked
I
weird,
love
too.
Mashing his shoot juice button. It looked like he was vomiting.
Right. Alright, you play anything else?
Just, you know, today, earlier February, I think it was, or, like, mid-February in Japan, the game came out on download and physical disc as Yakuman Tono Bara Bara, which in America is going to be called Patchwork Heroes. It's a PSP game. It's by Acquire and, like, some select Sony guys. It's the same guys who did, now it's called What Did I Do to Deserve This, My Lord, and Patapon and Lokoroko, I think. It's a very interesting, like, very unique art style game. It looks like, acrylic and patchwork, patchwork quilt, sort of design thing.
I've seen screenshots of it, but I haven't seen anything that even tells me what kind of game it is.
It's, basically, the conceit of the story is, you know, the premise of the game is that, you're these little villages, and you're part of this, rebel force trying to fight back against this, like, giant corporation, like, giant, like, empire sending giant warships at you, and you're basically, climbing around the ship and sawing off giant parts of the ship. To basically make it unfit for combat, and then it will, like, just crash and explode and, like, completely, you know, explode and be unfit for combat anymore.
Huh.
Yeah. And it's like,
that's,
you know, there's,
that's kind of neat.
It's like mechanical insects and like missiles shooting at you. You can make like a giant shield appear behind, you know, just pop out a giant shield. So like missiles just like bounce off of you. It's like king and just fall down. Instead of like killing, and your form of life is like having fellow refugees, like fellow rebels like, hanging around you, and you can rescue more, extend your life. There's a thing called mojo, where you get like you fill up a mojo bar, and then you like you enter this awesome mojo mode where you can like destroy parts of the shit that you know would normally like metal grades or something like that.
Huh. So you're basically you're controlling a group, and
you're like, controlling one guy, life, like,
so to speak. Is oh okay.
It's depicted by the number of people you have with you. Yeah.
Right. Okay. That's pretty sweet.
It's hard to describe. Yeah, because you said it's hard to see in screenshots. It's hard to describe in words. But you know the
demo's
out there.
Yeah, it's tough to visualize it. Yeah.
The demo just came out. The English language demo just came out this evening. As in, like, you know, Thursday evening, you know, day before. And
right.
It's a couple, it's like 27 megs, you know, download off PSN. And check it out.
Sweet, I will have to give that a shot.
And the theme song music is really good. Grude.
Grude, you know, it's groovy and
great
good.
And good, yeah.
No, groovy and good.
It's groovy.
Not great.
It's groovy. It's groovy as hell.
I made that Strong Bad reference, so.
anything else, Joe?
Oh yeah, I also, just before we start recording, I played a bit of Heavy Rain Chronicles.
It's Heavy Rain Chronicles?
It was they're putting out downloadable expansions to Heavy Rain. You have to have the disc to run these, but they're like bonus episodes. Like, that take place before the story proper. The first one was, you know, remember the trailer, the first trailer that was like first like actual game footage of the female reporter, Madison, like in the house with all the stuffed animals, the taxidermist? They made that into an actual playable chapter of the story for the first one. And you know, if you pre-ordered Heavy Rain, you got it for free. If not, then you'll have to pay extra $5 to play it with Heavy Rain. I had the assumption that it was going to be a standalone download thing, but you have to have the game discs to play it. To actually play it.
I haven't touched Heavy Rain.
You got it?
No. I guess it would have been. Yeah, my point is I haven't played it beyond that demo.
I see Fiendwager has got it, and like he's, well, he likes the game, but like the core story is kind of like it's not to his satisfaction. It goes, but yeah, other guys at the squadron really like it.
Right, George, what have you been playing?
Well, I haven't really had a lot of time to play for the past.
Wait a second.
Wait
a second. You promised me you were buying. Yeah. Did you buy Sega All-Stars Racing or whatever the hell it's called?
I did buy it. It hasn't even seen the inside of my 360 yet.
Did you? But don't lie to me, George.
I
you bought it, right?
Yes, I did buy it. I have the disc. I haven't booted up any of my consoles.
All right. How am I supposed to know if it's good or not? I can't wreck games anymore. What am I supposed to do?
I
depended on you, George.
Well, then I will give you a review as soon as I actually get around to playing it.
I'm sure the first time you press accelerate on the forklift, you will be like 10 out of 10.
I'm sure what's going to happen. That's probably how that's going
to
go down.
There used to be a secret character where you play as the dude from Rez. I mean, the main character from Rez.
That'd be awesome. Yeah,
Echo the Dolphin should be in a game. He's just in a tank.
A tank with wheels on it. Oh my god!
Right?
I'm pretty sure that the moment I unlock Ryo on the forklift and can actually play as a Jet Set Radio character, that'll pretty much make it a 10 out of 10 for me.
I would have made it like a parody of a kart racing game.
Oh, I mean, it's,
like just keep doing ridiculous shit.
If only, right?
Kind of like how Fighters Mega Mix was a parody of a fighting game. Like, you can fight as the logo as a palm tree in a Daytona racing car.
I would have liked to see that, but well, who knows? I mean, maybe there's some weird, crazy unlockable shit that nobody's found yet. But I mean, most of
what
my
you
time
actually play.
Has been yeah. I mean, most of my time has been occupied with this with my current project at Full Sail. My group and I are we're building a roguelike. We're spending the next the next 2 months building that. And it's a lot of work. We're in the sort of like pre-production green light phase now, where what we have to do is we have to actually very, very specifically and very concretely diagram every single piece of code that is going to be in the game when we're done. And that is it's an excruciating process. We have 3 days to write a very dense 50-page design doc. So time to play has been pretty slim.
Are you making a Chocobo Dungeon fan sequel?
Yes.
Nice.
With Mogs and
Crystals
and Cactuars. And Moogles and Cactuars.
Wants and Moogles.
And there's a dude named Sid in it. Yes. Just all of the above. Yes. It's gonna be cool. But and aside from that, what little time I've had to play, I did go back and I played Borderlands for like a couple of hours the other day, and I hadn't played it in a long time, and I'd forgotten how much fun it was, and also how compulsive it was. Although I'm just really happy that I have a weapon in my collection called the Malevolent Bitch. I think that's fantastic.
there you go.
Yeah, and they know how to name their guns.
I never got that far, and I liked it, but I was distracted by other things. I need to get back.
Yeah, it is a very good game. I haven't touched any of the DLC yet. I'm still just kind of playing the core game, but it's a blast. It is.
My brother
a lot
played
fun.
Through all the DLC. My younger brother, I don't know. He's kind of an achievement whore, so he kind of did it for that purpose.
Oh, okay.
But I don't know how much he ultimately liked.
Yeah,
all the
I'm
DLC.
Just I'm just playing it on the PC, so there are no real achievements to speak of.
Right. there aren't any achievements.
Yeah. A couple of days ago, I found a used game store in Orlando that I actually hadn't been aware of, and I found myself a copy of Kinetica for the PS2.
Oh my god!
Which in itself, wasn't like a really like amazing game just in itself. Although it is generally remembered as having one of the most well written engines of any game to run on the PS2.
Really?
Which is odd, and you don't really notice it just by looking at it. But I spent a few hours scrutinizing it, and it's true that engine is. It's not the most like stable or fastest engine necessarily, but it's very robust and it does a lot of things that that very few other engines on the PS2 could do. At least as far as like how it handles texture resolution and collision detection and like things that are a little bit more sort of like gearheadish and like aimed directly at the software engineer. I think a casual gamer wouldn't really be impressed by it, but I was looking at it and I was seeing these like little like collision calculations and these little like sort of IK rigs that they had. It was all fantastic. There was only just like a couple of hours here and there. Although as a substitute for having not been able to play a whole bunch of games, I am pretty sure that I have watched the trailer for the Halo Reach multiplayer beta about 46 times in the last 2 days.
Have you been miming controller button presses to the trailer?
Yeah, fucking jetpacks, dude. Jetpacks. What else can I say? I found it really funny that like as soon as the trailer landed, everybody's like, "Oh my god, this game sucks. Tribes already did jetpacks." And the first thing that I thought was, "Yeah, Tribes did jetpacks because jetpacks are fucking sweet. We don't need to declare a moratorium on jetpacks because somebody already did them."
Right, what the hell?
Jetpacks are cool as fuck. And any game that wants to have a jetpack is cool by me. The more jetpacks, the better. Just give me fucking jetpacks.
Rocket Knight, baby.
Hell yes, dude. Awesome. The game still looks fantastic. I've been really zeroing in on that trailer, and of course because now I'm sort of making this transition from, sort of amateur game designer, like, ooh, some guy who has cool ideas for games, to, a legitimate software engineer. I'm paying much closer attention to these very, very specific details that they have going on. They've increased their texture resolution. They've kind of changed their animation system. There's a lot, the animation mixing is a lot more fluid. And, you know, just these, like, these little details. They're, you know, new motion blur shaders and all of this stuff that, you know, like, kind of as a whole, it's like, yeah, okay, fine, the game's prettier, big deal, right? But, you know, looking at it from the tech side, I am, you know, constantly just, like, super impressed by it. The music in the trailer is, it's very different. It doesn't sound like any of the previous games, but it's still within the same aesthetic. I'm stoked as hell, and actually, I'm going to be, the beta's launching at the beginning of May, and I will have just finished this, this huge 2-month project when that rolls around. I will probably have been in crunch for like 4 days straight, and I know that the moment that that beta drops, you are not going to hear from me for a long time. You will see me, you will log into Xbox Live, and it will just be Regulus is online nonstop. Just nothing. Even if I'm not playing, even if I have to work, I will just leave it on so I can hear the background music from the main menu. But yeah, so like, you know, not a whole lot of time to play games, but a lot of time to work on them, which is a lot more exciting. Getting really stoked for GDC next week, and I'll definitely be getting you guys updates on the coolest shit from there.
Yeah, especially if the if it turns out the Portal 2 does get announced
as well as Steam on Mac.
Yeah, there are probably going to be a handful of announcements. I know Epic is actually having 2 press conferences, which will be interesting. Presumably one is to announce a game and the other is to announce some expansions to their tech.
Gears of War 3.
Yeah, it's probably going to be Gears of War 3 and then some updates to Unreal Engine 3.
Right. You know, George, I saw there was like 50 like keynotes or something like that from Naughty Dog.
Oh yeah, no. Naughty Dog is Naughty Dog's guys are
the Naughty Dog victory lap, as I like to call it.
Yeah, no, they're going to be giving a lot of talks. I know in particular they're going to have a lot of engineering talks, both them and Insomniac, which, you know, I'm going to be attending all of those because, I mean, God, those guys know how to write an engine.
And, yeah,
I'm going to absorb as much as I can from those fools.
George, you think if I could express mail you my Uncharted 2 to get it signed, please?
I don't know if there's time. I'm leaving in like 2 days.
I'm just messing. But yeah.
I will. I'll think of something, though, because I think we should.
I want a Fortune Edition, Fortune Hunter Edition, whatever. That's what I want.
Yeah, that's an awesome idea.
That's what I expect.
Sweet. Yeah, you know what? I might actually. I know Amy Hennig is going to be there, and I'm already planning to ask her to sign my copy of Uncharted 2. So I may just.
You're
going to
ask her
to
sign your chest, aren't you?
Well,
sign
I mean that
half tuck shirt.
I mean, hey, I could run the gamut there. But yeah.
We should. That's not even
good. Naughty Dog is cool as hell. Honestly. Almost everybody in the game industry is cool as hell, and the exceptions are really easy to spot. GDC is going to be awesome, and I'll keep you guys posted on all the cool shit. Nice. But yeah, my whole week has pretty much just been preparing for that and moving into my new apartment and working on this project. So, busy, but
all
good
right.
Kind of busy.
Enough about
awesome.
You.
Gaming.
Let's talk about the releases of the week.
Woo! Releases.
Here's what came out.
Mega Man 10.
Battlefield Bad Company 2 for PC, PS3, and 360.
Rock on.
Supposed to be pretty good.
That's what I'm hearing.
You know, yeah. I mean, I don't know when if this was a normal sort of quarter one 2010, I'd probably pick it up. But busy right now.
Yeah, 2010 is this is a jam packed year.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. Supreme Commander 2 came out for the PC.
Right.
MLB 10 The Show, PSP, PS2, and PS3. It has the Mike Minotti seal of approval.
Which is important.
Lunar. It's going to go in the box on the next printing, I hear. It's a picture. It's just a big picture of my stupid face.
Right next to the picture of Kevin Butler in his swim trunks.
Exactly.
This game has received the Mike Freshmaker Minotti seal of approval.
All right, yeah. Moving on.
Fresh.
Lunar. Lunar Silver Star Harmony for the PSP.
Oh.
They should love remaking RPGs on the PSP, don't they?
Yeah.
And Lunar especially, like, freaking that game. How many remakes has that thing had by now? The one on DS? I think they're on cell phone even. Jesus. Maybe I'm just mistaken, but anyways.
Major League Baseball 2K10 for 360. And I'm... Did it come out
the demo's on
also?
PS3.
Yeah, it did. PS3, yeah. There it is. Okay. For some reason, the PS3 version is a half a point lower reviewed than the 360 version on GameSpot. Presumably because on the PS3 you should be playing this show.
Clearly.
Maybe that's why. Silent Hunter 5, Battle of the Atlantic for the PC.
Which was the first... actually Silent Hunter 5 is the first game to be... to quote-unquote feature Ubisoft's new DRM scheme, which was cracked less than 24 hours after the game was released.
Yeah.
I found it particularly hilarious that Ubisoft released an official statement, the pirates are lying, they didn't really crack it, they're totally full of shit, but then they also patched the game. nice work. Way to backpedal there, guys.
So Dante's Inferno got released on the PSP. I didn't know that was happening.
What, it was?
As soon as you saw God of War, hit PSP. And it's like, obviously, Dante's Inferno is going to hit PSP as well.
Yeah, but they had to make that from the ground up. I'm assuming this is just a low-res port.
Yeah.
Interesting. Major League Baseball 2K... No, wait, we already did that. Disregard that. Alice in Wonderland for Wii and DS. You know a licensed game is good when it's only released on the Wii and DS. That's always a good sign.
How long time ago? The DS one? I could have sworn I saw it like last month.
I don't know. See why the movie camp comes out today, so seems like this would be more timely.
There was a Johnny Bravo game for DS. It came out this week, I think.
That's bizarre. I'm pretty sure that shit has been canceled for.
It's hitting DVD.
Johnny Bravo, really? Oh, sweet.
Yeah, first season is getting DVD as part of like a Cartoon Network like greatest hits thing. So people are like, Dexter's Lab, please. Which I fully agree with.
Courage the Cowardly Dog. Hook me up with someone.
Oh, that too.
You can mock me all you want, but Powerpuff Girls was a hilarious show.
It was funny. It was a legitimately funny show.
It was great. That whole Cartoon Friday block was amazing.
Yeah,
Cartoon Fridays.
Yeah.
And then they made it.
It was an incredible block. Then right after that would be Space Ghost usually, which is more awesome.
Yeah.
No, that was awesome.
Space Ghost, all right. Coast to Coast.
Oh. Toy Soldiers came out on the Xbox Live Arcade, Mega Man 10 on WiiWare, Algernon for PC, okay. Oh, look at that, Major League Baseball 2K10 also came out on PC. Yeah. Clover, A Curious Tale. I don't know what this is. I'm assuming it's for PC.
Yeah, it's an indie game.
That's right.
I don't know that much about it, but from what I've heard, it's an interesting sort of take on the like adventure
funky art style.
Yeah. A lot of colored pencil.
Major League Baseball 2K10 also came out on the Wii. How about this? I didn't realize this was happening so soon, but Final Fantasy 13 comes out on Tuesday.
It does.
What, really?
That's kind of crazy to me. Yeah, that's bizarre. I had to actually pre-order it, I guess.
There's no pre-order bonus, though. Just like pick it up on launch day. They'll have enough copies. Don't worry about it, man.
Midnight launches are fun. I like to go to those.
Oh, yeah.
My friends. Those are usually good times. Man, really? That's crazy. I don't know how much I shouldn't... Everyone's spring break is this week, so a lot of people are going to be home, but... Why do Final Fantasy covers always suck in America? Why is it always just, like, a picture of, like, the CG model of the main character?
It's as bad as 12, man. Floating heads.
12 was... The special edition of 12 was awesome.
Yeah, that was great, but the normal one... Terrible.
I got that. Okay. Man, next show we'll be talking about Final Fantasy 13. That's crazy. That's like, that game's been like the boogeyman. It's like, you don't really know if it's real or not.
And then it recurs with two consoles, you don't give a crap anymore.
Alright. I guess it does it, everyone. Thanks for listening. You can find more of us at explodingbarrel.wordpress.com or at splashershame.com. You can follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/explodingbarrel. Thanks for listening. Ad Guy will be back next week. In case you missed him for some reason, I don't know why.
Yeah, God.
Alright,
anyway.
Yeah. Okay, now, once I start editing this, I'll dish it too. Alright. Thanks again. Thanks to you two for joining me.
Thanks for having us, man.
And we'll see everyone next week on the Explaining Girl Podcast.
Bye, bye.